Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International. We are so excited that you have tuned in, that you have came in the building, and you are here, amen, to see what thus said the Lord. We thank God for just another day. We greet you in the name of Jesus. We thank God for our senior pastor, Bishop Kevin J. Jones, and our co-founder, Archbishop E.W. Smith. On behalf of them, we welcome you to our noonday Bible study. We are so excited about another day that God has spared us. Amen. We are almost in the middle of February. Oh, my God. And the year 2022. So we thank God today, and we're going to open up with a word of prayer, and then we're going to go through and have a song, amen, so we can get our mind and our heart together to worship him. Amen?
Hallelujah. So we bless you today. We give you glory and give you honor and praise God for everything that he is doing and all the things that he's going to do, and we just praise him on today. Father, we bless you, Lord
Thank
God.
You.
We honor
you,
God. We glorify your name, Lord God. We lift you up, Lord Amen. God. We give you praise. We give you honor. And we give you glory.
Thank you.
We thank you, Lord God, that you are so kind and you're so nice and you're so sweet to us, Lord. We thank you for your peace, Lord God, that surpasses all understanding, God. And we pray, Lord God, hallelujah, Lord God, that your word shall come forth on today, Lord. It will come forth with power and the anointing out of everyone that opened up their mouth to talk about your name and to talk about your glory and talk about your honor, God. We thank you, Lord God, and we bless you and we honor you and we glorify you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you will give us an ear to hear, a heart to receive what the word of God is saying to us on today, Lord. We thank you for our leaders, Lord God, and we thank you for every person that is online. And those that are on their way here and those that are in the house already.
Yes, yes.
God, we pray, Lord God, that you are blessed in a mighty way, Lord God. And give us clarity, Lord, concerning your word, Lord God. Give us clarity, Lord God, concerning what you would have us to do, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that as we leave this place, we will be better people, oh God. We'll be able to live right, do right, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And God, we declare it is done. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on,
amen.
And give God glory.
Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Clap glad hands for Jesus. Hallelujah. What an awesome God we serve. He is mighty. He is awesome in all his ways. Hallelujah. We praise him for his grace and for all that he's doing with us and through us. God is great and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. We bless him and we honor him. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Together.
Together.
All together.
Hallelujah. Come on and say he's wonderful. He's worthy. He's lovely. Hallelujah. He is everything that we need. And we are here to worship him because we would never know how much it costs. Oh, my God, just to see our sins that he nailed on the cross. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. We greet you in the mighty name of Jesus for being here today. Thank God for his mercy and his grace. Another time that we can learn a little bit more about God. Hallelujah. Because the more we know him, the more we can love him. And the more we love him, the more we'll share him. Amen. So we thank God for you, and especially you. Thank God for another time that we can get together and study the word of God. We are in Romans again, the third chapter, and we got down to the 19th to the 18th verse. And so Paul is still correcting and helping, and he's pulling scriptures from the Old Testament, from David, teaching just to ensure them, to let them know this is not something that I'm just saying. You know, this is not something that I'm just coming up with. And if we know that anytime we want to say something or tell somebody something, we ought to always go back to what is written, what is already written. Jesus himself quotes many scriptures. And we know that if Jesus had said anything he wanted to say, it would have been scripture. And it would have been in red, right? But he's teaching us that we can't depend on what we think. We got to go back to the word. Amen? So Paul is reaching back and telling them how what David said in the Psalms about how we are undone without God. We have nothing without God. And so we need God because our best righteousness is like filthy rags. And so we can't boast on nothing. That's why the Bible says we should not, it's not the works that any man should boast, but it's the gift of God. And I'm so glad he chose me. Hallelujah. Woo, my goodness. I mean, when you think about it, he chose you. If not, you're not saved because you want to be saved. He chose you. He chose me. And I am so, I'm so glad. Hallelujah. That he chose me. Amen. About billions and trillions and billions of people. He chose little bitty me. Amen. And gave me the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This treasure in earthen vessels. Hallelujah. And so we see Paul is saying, so none of us are good without God. And you can't feel good without God. Right? You take away nothing and you got God. Out of good, right? And so Paul is just telling these Jewish Christians and these Gentile Christians. And so we see now we are at the 19th verse, and we're going to get to 19 and 20. And so this is Paul's conclusion of his questions and answers he was given to the church. And so he's saying that after presenting all the terrible facts, Paul reaches to this twofold conclusion. He told them how none of us are good. I mean, all the bad stuff he told them, right? So now he came to a conclusion with this twofold conclusion. It says, one, the first part of it, both Jews and Gentiles have sinned against God. That's a fact. That's the conclusion. You can't go around it. You can't do nothing with it. That's just it. The other thing is, both Jews and Gentiles stand accused before God. No matter what, you cannot do anything to forfeit the judgment of God except being saved. Amen. So he's concluding and telling them right now. As we go on, that the conclusion is we're sin. The conclusion is we're under God's judgment. But the next part is, but God. Right? So the conclusion is that we're sinners, but God ain't left us there. Right? It's just like the crucifixion. And you know, in New York, they had it real bad. If you had a cross on your body and your neck with Jesus still on the cross, this is, baby, you stand down. They don't want you because he is not on the cross anymore, right? Because if he had stayed on the cross and that was it, our salvation wouldn't be nothing, right? But so even though he was crucified, the next part of that is he's resurrected, right? And so the same way like us, we're condemned, but the next side of that is Jesus is our Savior. Hallelujah. Amen. So we see where we're gonna get deep down. Paul is now getting them. Because if you don't identify where you are, you cannot get to where you want to go. And the first healing, the first deliverance of any addiction is first you got to admit where you are. You go to AAU, you go to NAU or whatever, you got to first say, I am an alcoholic. I am. You have to admit. So Paul is letting them know. Now, first stage is you got to admit, yes, you're a sinner, that you need to be saved. Because if not, if you don't admit that you're a sinner, need to be saved, you'll never get saved because you think you're all right. And that's where some of the Jews were. They think because of the law, they was good. Right? Okay, so we're going to get into Romans 3, and we're going to start at verse 19 and 20. And we're going to start with Deacon Bass. 19 and 20.
That whatever the law say, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the work of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. It's pretty much like you were saying, no one beyond, everyone has sinned.
Mm-hmm.
And just because of the law, it's through the works of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Yeah.
Also, Paul is trying to get them also to see. He said, okay, Jewish, you said the law belongs to you, right? He said, since it belongs to you, you're not living it. So you should know what the law is saying. And he's trying to make it plain to them, we all have to stand before God. So therefore, when God gets ready to whip us, we have no excuse. Because it's in the law. We know what the law said, just like we know the Ten Commandments, you know, is a form of a law. And if we don't keep certain things, if we don't keep it, then we're going to pay the consequences. So in other words, Paul is saying, what is your excuse? Because, see, sometimes we disappoint and think at this person, but, hey, I got that big yoke in my eye. But I'm pointing a finger. So Paul's trying to get them to see. If you claim in the law, why are you not walking in the law? Why are you not living the law? But you busy trying to tell someone else what they need to be doing. And he said, what you don't understand, we all got to stand before God. And we all got to give an account.
Yeah, and also in these particular passages, when Paul is saying the law, he's not just talking about the five books of Moses. No, he's talking about the entire scripture, the Old Testament, because he himself keeps quoting out of Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
So that lets us know that he it's all of the scrolls and whatever was written that he's referring to. And the other thing he was trying to get them to see is that if the Jew, let me do it so I can say it right on my paper. Man, I forgot. Oh, if the Jews are so judged to be sinners, then obviously such a judgment applies to the Gentiles as well. Thus, every mouth is to be silenced, and the whole world, both Jews and Gentiles, mm-hmm. is to be held accountable to God for their sin. And, you know, the sinners, oh, the Jews, not this, that, and the other day, they we're judging, they're a bunch of sinners, so they don't do what the law says. Hey, you Gentiles, now that y'all are saved, and you come to Christ, too, that same thing those sinners were saying about the Jews, they're saying about you if you don't keep the law.
That's
and
it.
It's not just the five books of Moses. It's also speaking of any precepts and constructs that are within the Old Testament.
Awesome. That was a good point.
The law is only for the law years and years ago. They didn't need no stoplight. They didn't need stoplight. Because everybody managed themselves. So they saw if you came to the top first, on the buggy, they would let you go first or whatever. People wanted to be able to do that. But now, because of the lawless, they disregard what's right or what's wrong. They just want to whack yourself. The speed limit, you don't have to speed limit. But because people, they want to go as fast as they want to go, even with the law in place, they break the law. So the law, and the law only tells you when you're wrong. It can't help you to get right. Get right. All the points out there. Ding, 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 ding. You missed it. Right? That's all the law gonna tell you is you missed it. And so the thing is he's saying that you're trying to your deed and the law your flesh cannot be justified because you're wrong. Right? And all the law's gonna do is point out where you err.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're gonna fix you in error or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so the law is for the lawless.
Mm-hmm.
And but because if you, and that's why when Jesus came, he began to say you need to repent and start changing the way you look at it. It's not because of what you do. It's intended what you do it. And even the legal system judge you based on your intent. Premeditated murder is different from what they call that second degree or whatever, because you had an intent. You planned. You had determined that you're gonna kill the person. You had a motive in place, and so it's the law judge you different. And so the thing is that God wants our heart to be right, so we would automatically do the right. And if we err, we don't think that we okay. Well, so and so do it, so I can do it too. No, we're gonna still be guilty because oh Lord forgive us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we repent from that. And so the law is for the lawless. And it says that, so therefore by the deeds of the law, these shall know that no flesh shall be justified. You can't justify yourself as all guilty. The Bible said if you are guilty of one, so with 66 of them, 600 different laws that they had because the Pharisees thought they were so cute. And they wouldn't ask of additional laws so they could stand out to be the least. And so they have 600 plus laws that they have. That ain't nowhere in the world you can keep the very number of. Right? And so all they were trying to do is try to set themselves higher. Again, exalting themselves. All about themselves other than anybody else. And you know, no humility. It's about us being better than somebody else.
Dealing with the truth. We have to be careful that we don't put ourselves in that situation because a law could be something that I have put in my little mind thinking that if you don't do it the way I think you should do it, you're wrong and you're going to hell. And see, they thought that they was more uppity or whatever. That's why we got to be careful even in the church. We see that Paul is talking to the Jewish, but he's also talking to us right now because we are still in some of those same situations.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you do it that way and I do it differently, that don't mean that I'm wrong. So we got to learn how to agree
and love when we are right. And I don't know if the Jews kind of felt like that they could change Paul's mind, but Paul was steadfast. No, you're not changing my mind. I know what the words say. I'm not going to flip-flop it, compromise with it, in order to go along with the majority. And, you know, that's what we have to be careful with.
So I think along with that, it was that, you know, some of the Sanhedrin and all added more to it. But when it says the law, I think Paul also was trying to get them to see it wasn't just the written law as the law, but the law included commands, by God, commandments, not the ten, but other commands and precepts and examples. And Christ, he brings that clearer in the New Testament when he says, you have heard them say an eye for an eye, and for two. But I say, so that wasn't written as a law, but that was one of the commands. And, you know, well, how many times should we forgive our brothers? Seven times? And they thought that was something to go seven times in a day. And so now he brings in not a law, but a new command or a precept that, no, even 70 times. And like you say, this is read, he spoke it. And yep. So now it's part of the whole scenario of observing laws, commands, and precepts of God.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
You know, I take example of first Sunday.
Yeah.
Before the minister.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And but some ministers they don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So the enemy would have you trying to police people.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't our job.
Mm-hmm.
They already know. And the thing is, because of the law. And it's an unwritten law. It's a law, right? It's written. It's written.
Yeah, it is.
But the thing is that people look on you and know you are disobedient.
Yeah, yeah.
So it don't take us or anybody else to tell you you're disobedient. People already know. That law condemns you. Without you saying anything, without the people saying anything, you already condemned. But because nobody approached you, you feel you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
And because you're defiant. And so the thing is that we don't even understand how many disobedient we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the things that we know, we know that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
But because, it's that the end wants that. No. When you join the church, you say you're going to obey everything according to what's going on in the church.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as you have got your eldership or whatever ministry, you think you deserve one of them. But you already said, now, you go to the police department. Sir, if they're going to a funeral, there's a certain garb they wear that they don't wear every day. It's an official service, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it ain't about being in the law or being religious. People try to use religious to break the law. But
right.
Paul is saying, don't try to go use the law to break the law.
Yeah.
So people get religious and say, oh, you're trying to be religious. We can wear what we want to wear. Well, don't say that what we're going to do. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to be careful. But people, even though you do that and you feel justified in it, people looking at you know that you're wrong. So you're being condemned by your own actions. So the law will condemn you by your own actions.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have nobody ever said anything.
Mm-hmm.
They already know you. Okay, you are the author.
Yeah.
You know, they already know you are the author.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What you just said about, you know, when stuff that, you know, what you
mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's a scripture in the Bible said, our Father, you are to Father Christ. Okay, if a person is in a position in the church and they're not not being obedient. Yes, sir, I'm not going to for prayer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go to them for prayer because I know that they cannot be obedient to what is being said. Now, I'm telling you this right now. I don't care if we are in church. If you're not following Christ, I will not be following you. Mm-hmm. And how I'm going to know that, I'm in the Word, so I know what the Word says.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But this is what I was going to say about the Apostle Paul. Even with the Jewish people, you know, sometimes people never forget the history, the background.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure some of the Jewish people, well, I'm not sure, but I got a feeling some of the Jewish people were thinking, he's trying to condemn our law when he have a law going on back then, going around killing people. He didn't see nothing wrong with that law. But he's trying to do away with what we got going on. But what they didn't realize, it wasn't Paul trying to do away with it. Jesus had put things in place.
Mm-hmm. That's what he's saying. Yeah, that's what he's saying. Something is in place. Something is in place.
Uh-huh.
Judgmental come into that.
Judgmental.
Does it come into that?
Does judgmental come into that? She's asking.
Into what you said, when people are out of order. And do we know why they're out of order?
You don't have to judge.
We all know what the right. This was all the first part of Romans is saying. We all know what the right thing to do. You just need to do it. Even if you did not come under the law, you still knew what's right. If you talk to Gentiles, even though y'all didn't have a law, y'all still know what's right because nature itself tells you when you're wrong. Your consciousness tells you when you're wrong. So nobody has to judge you. It's an automatic display of disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a judgment, it's a display.
I got a past verse on you. And I looked in my closet. I had to ask myself, because I knew where I was supposed to wear, but the devil was saying, man, go and wear this white pearl neck. You look good in it.
Stop.
Yeah, he did. I swear he did.
That's
he did right on my shoulder.
For real.
You know, he said, man, he said, you're going to look good in it.
Yeah.
I did.
Uh-huh.
And,
I know exactly what
you
saying.
But I said, no, I'm wearing what I need to wear. You know, the correct protocol.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, yes, man. But you already know the right thing to do. So
oh,
nobody
yeah.
needs, and so what I'm trying to get at, though, is not to be judgmental, that we don't come in and say, oh, they don't have their own. No,
right.
You don't have to do that. It's done.
Right.
It's displayed. Yeah. So we keep our hearts right.
Amen.
By not getting in there and saying, oh, that one ain't that dangerous, right? No. And that's too much to be. I come here to worship God.
Oh, yeah.
I come here to worship. If you don't have on what you're supposed to have on, too bad for you. I'm here to worship God. And so you saying that you come here to worship God and you don't care about nothing else, that's fine with you. That's you. And I'm praying for you. I'm hoping everything go good for you. But everybody know the right thing to do. Like, for example, he had a decision to make. He could just say, for bump, yeah, I'm going to look good. Thank you. What? He just said that. And many of them do. They just bought themselves a new outfit. And when he showed up, what? Ain't going to stop me from doing what I need to do. Because again, it's about us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The way you present yourself impacts what people do. How people are like, what are you telling these people? That is impact
right.
what the saints see.
Yeah.
That's evangelism.
Amen.
Believe it or not, what you how you behave yourself shows people
who you are.
Of integrity with God.
Yeah.
And so you don't have to judge that. And don't
mm-hmm.
judge it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to work on it. He said, no man mess with my, what did he say, my servant? the Lord's servant, let God judge his own servant.
Mm-hmm. But
because if you start to judge, you start to get involved, and you so busy worrying about looking at them things, they ain't got on, and then worship going on, and you won't get in worship, and you really want to get them right, you want to straighten them out, right? You the one bound in the whole service. For what? If the Holy Ghost going to convict them, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
Who are you? Right? If the Holy Ghost don't convict them, then you are the place if you try to.
And I'm going to let you.
Yes,
I said. But, yeah, it probably could throw you into judgment because, like, say, for instance, here, and the minister's supposed to have on their outfit, I used to be looking. They ain't got that outfit on.
That's right.
That is a judgment. That's a judgment right there. So they ain't got the outfit on, but we had to really, Butterfield probably wasn't even in that, but I was, because when I didn't see them, they ain't had that outfit on. I'm like, they know they need to have that outfit on, you know. So I think that is a part of kind of little in a judging state. It's just that through this time now, I done just got where if they don't have it on, it's fine. Because if they don't want to follow the rules, that's okay, you know. Right. But like what Pastor Butterfield is saying, they're already judged because they're doing what they want to do and not doing what the word has said, not the word, but the law for the church, the rule or whatever. No one could have told me, and this is like a doctrine or something, could have told me when I was growing up and come to Atlanta, and some people were still doing it, but some churches wasn't doing it, but you could not tell me that when the choir come in, they weren't coming in and they was bopping from side to side. That's what I was used to seeing. So you just don't go up there and just be standing up there singing. So that's why we can't do a whole lot of judging, because you can judge. Butterfield probably say no about that, but you can judge that, but you just don't know the policy of what someone else is doing.
Just the traditions of men. Mm-hmm.
Traditions, yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
I was just saying, all of this goes back to...
Hold on a minute, hold on a minute.
Exceptions, are there any exceptions to the rules, especially when a person cannot, for certain reasons...
Cannot be... Yeah, there's exceptions. And I know that's what you allude to, too, that someone may... I may have gotten up one morning and my dress was dirty, or my suit. Mm-hmm. So now, should I stay at home because somebody's going to judge me and say you ain't got your outfit on? But we as Christians, we may do that, and so that's why I'm telling you, yes, it can be a judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Let somebody know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Do that.
You do.
If I miss a service, I text Mr. Kevin
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So we don't. What is it?
Right.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You didn't show up.
Mm-hmm. Somebody ought to know.
The thing is that. It's so important that you do have that. Something happens to you.
Right. Amen.
Right. I'm on with it.
They can't just take for granted that, oh, she's a angel. No.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't like her not to say.
Yep.
But it ain't like him not to do.
Right.
So if that's unusual,
mm-hmm.
Now somebody got to take action and say, let's check on.
They'll check on. Yeah. Check. Yeah.
So it helps you, really.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Crazy men, you talking about paying that account to nobody. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You head in your house, something going on in your house, and they don't know where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
6 inches.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, somebody needs to do that.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
okay.
That's
okay. Yeah, it all goes back to in the second chapter. And y'all know I said things 23 and 4. It just got me when Paul was talking about this. And I said, there is so much that lies within that. And he was just saying, you know, how come you're boasting in the law? You boasting in the law, like you said, that you're breaking. But he went on to say, he said, you don't even realize you're dishonoring God. Or he said, are you honoring God by doing that? No. He said, I think not. He said, as a matter of fact, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not keeping it. And now they were just like, what kind of God is this? You know, what kind of weak thing? You can't even keep them. And so, you know, call yourself this, that, and the other. And so I just really got that thing really got me. I mean, not that you didn't know it, but Paul, he just emphatically comes right out and saying, and of course, he is going back to Psalms, I think it was, and quoting that. But in Psalms, it just says, you blaspheme the name of God all the day long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so well, these people just said, you blaspheme. It's because of you.
Mm-hmm.
And like you say, you don't have to judge. People dishonor themselves because they don't have integrity. Or, you know, or they're not committed.
Right.
So he was just telling them now where we are. He said, look, the same sinners that was judging the Jews before y'all came along and saved Gentiles, now that y'all are saved, you get out of line. Don't you think they ain't going to be be judging you too?
That's
the same
right.
ones that was your fellow men.
Yeah,
you
right.
know.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just, like you said, you got to be very careful and not be as Deacon Bass was saying, lovers of yourself, you know. You know, be looking good and
that's
like,
for real.
That's for real.
Yes, indeed. But then again, you have a responsibility toward whatever part of the vineyard you are committed to, you know, not only just offering your gifts and tithes, but also your commitment and integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
On that commitment and integrity, one time I forgot to call you when I was out of town, and you called to say, Deacon Bass, you okay?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, typically when I'm not here on Bible study, I call.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I really appreciate it because I went to Carolina and I really just kind of forgot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but again, because when you're out of your habit, then that's when folks know and, you know, they can call check on you.
Yeah.
If that's something that I was accustomed to doing, then, you know, it's like, hey, you're just doing this thing again.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Help save.
You know, and another thing, I was retired, and I just feel like I just got to catch up on Bible study because, you know, when I was at work, man, I couldn't come. But now it's like, man, I can't wait to win.
That's great.
Because, you know, from
that's great.
Elder Heath and Sister Ali. And, you know, just the knowledge base.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So, and I'm trying to catch up, y'all.
You there already.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
He has wisdom when he speaks.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And,
You there.
The fear, probably them know the fear of God is gone. People just don't have the fear of God. You know, in them anymore. We feel like I feel like if you try to tell me something to help me, that what's she telling me for?
Mm-hmm.
She can't tell me nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But what you trying to do, you trying to help me to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And see, when we realize, hey, I come in here to worship God, most of the time when I come in here, before I even come in prayer on Sunday, I'm like, Lord,
I want to worship you. I don't want to see nobody on the side of me, in the back of me, in front of me. I just want to see you.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that has to start at home.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do that at home. Even though the enemy put someone around me and he brings to my attention, they don't need that. I'm like, Lord, take my eyes off of them. I didn't come in here for that.
Mm-hmm.
I came in here for growth. I need to mature. I'm going to mature. If don't nobody else mature, I need to mature. I need to take care of Ollie. I don't have time to take care of you and
mm-hmm.
nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
I'll keep you in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
But when we get to understanding, it's about the one that died on that cross for
yeah.
me. It's
yeah.
not about nobody else
mm-hmm.
is going to be better off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm.
I would do anything just to see you, just to be holy as I can for your glory. I mean, so when you come in here, it ain't about who doing whatever they do. You want to do anything possible just to get in his glory. And you can't do that being distracted by what people are doing and what they're wearing and all this other stuff. What about his glory? If we speak after his glory, I mean, ooh, this place would catch on fire for real.
Mm-hmm.
And healing and deliverance will take place just like that. Hallelujah. He'll do it just like that because the spirit will be so high and strong. Huh, devil can't stand. He won't be able to stand. Hallelujah. And that's what I long for. And that's when I come in, that's what I come for. I ain't trying to see who's doing what. If you lead prayer to worship, and you can't tell if I ain't leading. I'm going to be just as excited about it as you are, almost. Because we came to worship him. I know you got to tell somebody hold my mule because I'm about to let it loose. I'm about to let it loose. And, you know, this is definitely ever saying S-O-S.
S-O-S.
Over something. I'm about to let it loose.
One of the things that one of the bishops said in the Leadership Empowerment Conference, Bishop Thomas Porter, that thing changed my mind. I shared it with y'all, and then I did that study again with another group about the using social media. But he said, let me get it right, he just said, a little change, and I'm getting most of the words in there, a little change on our part
mm-hmm.
can help change the way that sinners look at the church.
Mm-hmm.
So just, I mean, positively or negatively. So, you know, I was talking about things you post on social media, but just changing something the way you say it or changing the way you act or address people. But that little bit of change towards righteousness can help to change the way that sinners look at the church.
My Lord, that is right there deep.
It was deep.
It is so deep because Bishop Kevin is talking about social media now because there's so much stuff out there. But you see the Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized person in the church doing their thing, singing, preaching, whatever. But then you see them on Facebook and they're doing the what you call twerking all it and doing all kind of stuff. It kind of makes it a little bit. It kind of change your
thoughts. Well, even with a lot of the selfies and the poses, even the women and hair and makeup and stuff. I mean, you are a bishop, right? And you doing all these poses and selfies with them. I was like, okay.
All of that.
Yeah, yeah.
All of that.
Yeah. To bring glory.
Yeah. We wouldn't do it.
It's all about glorifying ourselves.
That's it.
If we would ever.
That's it.
Get to where we want to bring glory to God. And you have an event that you thank God that you were able to enjoy that event. Yeah, but not by because of looking on how you look. Because it happens like this, that your looks can change beyond recognition.
Come on, man.
Just like this. Something's going to happen in your face. Something's stored in your face. You open
anything.
Up a thing of preaching.
Gone.
I mean,
anything.
Anything can happen. You ride down the street. Man. Oh.
Anything.
Yeah, anything. It could happen like that. So why would you glory in something that's not even solid?
Mm.
Yes.
It's
temporary.
It's temporary.
It's temporary. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I see a picture where you know, Perry Mason is one of my favorite things you watch. And I see how Della Street was so fine.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was in a Western movie where she had a
long hair.
I mean, beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you saw her before she died,
mm-hmm.
you couldn't recognize her.
Right.
Looked like a totally different person, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she was glory in that. And that was faith.
Mm-hmm.
You
know what I'm
saying? What you going to do?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we cannot rely on stuff that's going to change.
Mm-hmm.
And boast on something that's going to change.
There you go.
We got to make sure boast on something that's never changed. And the only thing ain't going to change.
God.
And yesterday, today, and forever.
Love of God.
That's God.
Mm-hmm. All right. Was that you?
I was just going to say, the Lord knows I love the drip.
Mm-hmm.
But
me
when
too.
It comes to coming in here
mm-hmm.
and whispering in him, I got to forget what I got on. Because the way I dress will get me down quicker than up.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to make sure we put our priority in the right order. Because God is more important to me, not just in here. He's important to me out there
yeah.
and at home. I don't have to wait till I come in here to put on a show for nobody. Because
mm-hmm.
I can do what I do at home that I do here
mm-hmm.
and out there.
Because mm-hmm.
in here, to me, it does not count. Because one thing that I know, and this is what Paul was trying to get the Jewish people to see. See, y'all saying one thing, but God sees the whole picture. Just like
mm-hmm.
with me, I can tell y'all one thing. I can come in here and act, and you're like, man, you're not supposed to look out and like that.
Yeah.
Man, when you out and you see the side of it, like you don't even see it. You go down the way. Matter of fact, I needed some help. He passed right by me like he didn't even know who I was.
Mm-hmm.
But when Sunday comes, he all up in my face.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is what I did to someone one time. I had to go back and apologize. They're trying to act like they didn't see me. And when Sunday came, I said, oh, you know me now? You didn't know me yesterday. So you don't know me now. So, you know, I have to go back and
apologize. Yeah.
But, you know, we have to be careful with things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
We seek to do the right thing because we are prophesying, we are training, and we are teaching people every day.
Mm-hmm.
Even when you don't know you're doing it, you're doing it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so when you do the right thing, even though a lot of people are doing the wrong thing, you're gonna stand out.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna say, now they may not be your best friend,
mm-hmm.
but they ever need some prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who they're gonna go?
Mm-hmm.
Keep doing good. That's what I'm saying. Keep
mm-hmm.
doing good no matter what. And keep living and seeking after God's righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't got none. The one we got, they say, like this way.
Mm-hmm.
When you compare, the God's righteousness and our righteousness, like this way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what we can't think.
Mm-hmm.
This way.
Paul wasn't trying to beat them up. He was just trying to get them on the right track. Just like, you know, when we come to church now and someone preaching, and they say, oh, it's going to be rough today. It's going to be tight, but it's going to be right. You're not going to like me today. It's not that they know something about you or trying to beat you up. They're just trying to get us on the right track and make sure we stay on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Paul was trying to do. He wasn't trying to choose no particular group of people to favor, because he already told them God is not a God of favor. Mm-hmm. You know, God got one law. One. That's grace. Matter of fact, Paul was trying to get them to see we back on the grace, but he's saying, you're not even following God's law, but you made up this law over here, but you're not even following God's law.
Mm-hmm.
He was just trying to mature them in some areas the same way we have to mature. He's not saying I'm trying to mature you earthly, but spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul, what he's trying to do is bring the group together. You know, yes, I am my brother people. Now, if you say you're not and you're in a church, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. But you do have some people. I ain't got nothing to do with Sister Allen. She's on her own. But the Bible asks you the question, are you the brother keeper? Same thing, are you your sister keeper? Yes. What is wrong with you? I don't know who you're serving.
Mm-hmm.
Let me leave that alone.
So, this part, let me get to verse 20. Verse 21 and 22, Paul now is switching gears.
Yeah, yeah.
And now, how then did God save? Okay, we all wretched. And then remember I said that, but you're going to have the but God in a minute?
Mm-hmm.
And so now, we all sinners. Now what?
Mm-hmm.
So Paul now is going to shift now and say how salvation now can come to all. Even no matter what way you sit, salvation is available to you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we're gonna let's go to 21 and 22. Elohim, and then we'll go ahead. 21.
Yes, I have the New American Standard.
Mm-hmm.
But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction. So I think like we have already cleared some of this and then it's said another way. About in Christ, there's no East or West, no bond of free, no male, no female.
Mm-hmm.
We're all the same. So I know I didn't quote completely that right, but anyway, he was just saying, now that you believe in Christ Jesus, for all of those who believe, there is no distinction. So somebody that's he was saying, if they're a Jewish Christian, Gentile Christian, if they're a Chinese Christian,
mm-hmm.
if they're a Nigerian Christian,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is. There's no distinction in Christ
mm-hmm.
because belief,
mm-hmm.
belief is a substance
mm-hmm.
that God recognizes, and whoever has that substance
mm-hmm.
in them, that's what is acceptable,
mm-hmm.
not, you know, being a prejudice in any other form or fashion.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because he said, witness by the prophets. And brings in not just the Pentateuch, but also the whole Old Testament that laid down laws and teach us and educate us how to serve God, how to live this life, how God responds to his people. And so the Jews were our schoolmaster, well, our teacher. They taught us how not to live. They taught us how to live. David taught us how not to live. Instead of being at war, being at home, looking like somebody's wife. He taught us how not to live. Then he began to teach us how to live by saying, create in me a clean heart, a heart. I renew a right spirit in me. So the Old Testament teaches us all these things. So when we look at the Jews, we got to say thank you. Y'all went through it. So now we can learn from it. And so when we look at our parents, we can see how the stuff that they went through and they dealt with it, and they showed us now if you trust God, no matter if you don't have no money, God will make a way somehow. That I was able to, with $10, feed a family of six. And I was like, I got a meal. Got some rice, some meat, some vegetable. But my parents them had $2. And they did the same thing. And God made ways out of no way for them. And so we can learn from what somebody else did. And so that's what Paul is telling them right now. That we have been witnessed and the law has been manifested. And we witness it through the law. We know that righteousness without God is not going to work. We need God righteousness. Because Saul thought he was doing everything that was right. But he didn't. He never humbled himself to admit that he was wrong. And so Paul, in this first couple chapters, is trying to tell us, you high-minded, you self-righteous, you're waiting on a fall. He that standeth, take heed, lest he fall, right? And so we're gonna stop there today. It's already past the time, but we'll begin again on 23. And this is the 23 is the scripture that Paul used when we evangelize. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we begin on that next week. And we thank God for all of you, amen, for participating and being here today. Thank God for his mercy and his grace. And that we always seek after just having God's being glorified in our lives. If he's glorified, I heard somebody say the devil's going to be horrified. But if he's horrified, then you can accomplish some things. Because then he don't know what to do. And so we thank God for you and especially you. And we're going to have our offering, and then we'll be dismissed.
Amen. The word to me and all of you that has participated in the work. We want to give our offerings and our tithes. You can do that online. You can use your app, the Light of the World app, and give. And then text my number. Text us my number, how much you gave. The number is 770-906-0607. You can go into the Live War app, and you can give. And then just text that to me at 770-906-0607. Those of you that are in the house, you can write a check. I got my app, my player here. And your offerings at this time. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we bless you and honor you, Lord. We pray, Heavenly Father, that as we give, Lord God, you will continue to give back to us, Lord God, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall men give unto our bosom, O God, that we may be able to. And we bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, you're getting your offerings. I have an aunt. She turned 100, auntie. My mother's sister. She's in my hometown. Newspaper. Yeah. She turned 100. My sister too. My sister went down to be with her this past weekend. But Aunt Lily turned 100, and they got a little write-up in here concerning her and. She said Mars Hill is her church, which is our church in Alabama that she goes to. But her vision in church is Light of the World.
Amen.
So I was just excited to see this, that they, my family is sending it out, that she made the papers down in turn one.
Amen. All hearts, minds are clear. Let us stand. Oh, okay.